This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. First, it was Goldman Sachs this week with a report of $3.44 billion in revenue. Now today, Bank of America reports $2.42 billion in profit. We're also getting reports that Citigroup, the huge troubled bank that's been emblematic of all that's wrong in the financial industry, possibly earned $4 billion, although there's some difficulties even measuring what goes on at the huge Citigroup. Joining us now is Marshall Ekblad, banking reporter for Dow Jones Newswire. He's on the line right here in New York. First of all, Marshall, it's been a banner week for the banks in terms of year-to-year comparisons, but even the raw numbers show this is serious cash. This is suddenly a business to get into.
Yeah, certainly the top line numbers at most large financial firms coming in have been good.
Now, there's something really disturbing to me in the Goldman number and specifically the Bank of America number. Both companies suggested, in the case of Goldman, it was record results for underwriting, basically the encouraging of trading and stock. For Bank of America, they also made an enormous amount of money from trading profits. Now, it seems to me that what Bank of America, which received an enormous amount of money from the TARP, the Federal Treasury, did was take low-interest federal money and trade it up.
Well, there have been accusations that the firms have been doing that. Certainly, it's not against the rules. It's important to remember that, I think, banks trading businesses, they don't just trade for the bank itself, but they trade for clients. And with the fall of especially Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns, there are fewer competitors in the marketplace. And so especially large institutions like pensions and corporations that need to trade stocks and bonds every day, there are fewer places to go. And that's certainly driving up profits at all of the large Wall Street firms.
But politically, this suggests that the best business to be in is the hedge fund business, the trading business. It's not in increasing liquidity into the economy and helping mortgage owners and people at the other end of this whole economic downturn.
There's no doubt that even as trading profits are up, credit problems are still on the rise, especially in commercial loans or loans made to businesses. On the other hand, one could argue that because of the higher trading profits, again, from serving, especially clients, that's putting some more money in the pockets of the bank, and that's money that's not coming from the taxpayers this time, and that in turn should encourage some lending down the road.
But that's the trickle down. That's the trickle down theory. I mean, I'm not ascribing that to you necessarily, but I guess on that point, is there any evidence that these profits shorten the time whereby Bank of America might repay the $45 billion in bailout funds it's received?
Well, there's been a long complaint about, the largest firms, that they are simply too big. And really the way that Bank of America turned a profit in this quarter was by selling a fairly large chunk of itself. It sold more than $9 billion in businesses and investments, $5 billion of which was a big stake it held in a Chinese construction bank.
Huh.
And in some ways that's some people would say that's good news. The banks are getting smaller, and even if they're turning a profit by getting smaller, that certainly helps.
Right.
That helps get some of them down to size.
Well, good news in the banking industry, and something to look forward in the next quarter, where some toxic mortgages may come due and affect earnings for the next quarter. But Marshall Ekblad, thanks so much, banking reporter for Dow Jones Newswire, reporting on Bank of America's $2.42 billion profit.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.